So it's really an honor for me to be making this presentation here today. And I say this because over the last several days, some of us have been celebrating and remembering the life and work of Carl Taylor, as well as commemorating the 40th anniversary of the Jamkhed Comprehensive Rural Health Project in India. Both have had an extraordinary impact on the global context in which Carl and the Arolis, who founded CRHP, dedicated their lives to the fight for social justice, empowerment, and ending inequities in health, particularly among the poorest of the poor. And they've certainly had a profound influence on my own life and future career. So in an effort to explore the concept of empowerment in greater detail, I began working late last year with Dr. Carl Taylor, as well as his son Henry Taylor and Professor Antonello, along with several other researchers, to design a study that would systematically define and measure empowerment within the context of Jamkhed, and hopefully with applications far beyond. In this presentation, I'll go through our current progress and report on the findings thus far. So as you can see here, this slide represents an overview of the structure of CRHP, which we call the Jamkhed model. It's based on the principles of comprehensive community-based primary health care, which was laid out in the Alma-Ata Declaration, which was itself written 8 years after the founding of CRHP. Next slide. Oh. Jamkhed represents a great opportunity to study empowerment because of its 4 decades of uninterrupted development and support of village health workers in the field, which has made it among the leading organizations in the world in the empowerment of local women as community health workers and ultimately as agents of positive change and transformation. And we developed 3 main research questions to guide this study, and it was divided into 2 parts. The first part involved studying the components of empowerment and what aspects of the model are most effective at achieving that level. And the first question we asked was, what components of the Jamkhed Village Health Worker Program have contributed to the sustainable empowerment of local women? We also asked, what aspects of the training program do existing VHWs identify as most engaging, informative, and empowering, in their own words? The second part had to do with measuring empowerment using a quantitative instrument that was developed originally by Carl Taylor and colleagues in Afghanistan. And we asked which indicators could the health program designers and others use to measure progress towards achieving women's empowerment specific to community health workers. Next. Of course, to study empowerment, we need to have a working definition since it's been used in so many different ways and contexts. But those of us who witness empowerment in action know that it's a serious concept that can and should be monitored more precisely by qualitative and quantitative methods. Of course, it's very difficult to do so, and Carl himself acknowledged the frustration. And when prompted, he often said, empowerment is just this concept, it's just this thing, you know it when you see it. And he struggled himself to come up with a way of quantifying it or breaking it down into its elements. So a definition I've come across in the literature is the following: a social action process by which individuals, communities, and organizations gain mastery over their lives in the context of changing their social and political environment to improve equity and quality of life. In Jamkhed, there's a more holistic and transcendent understanding of empowerment as applied to VHWs. In this study, we chose to focus specifically on those health workers who appeared to attain a very high level of empowerment and have become what we refer to as change agents in order to better understand the processes that led them down that path. This definition therefore goes far beyond economic and political upliftment, aiming more towards consciousness raising and developing local, sustainable, and values-driven leadership, volunteerism, and sense of purpose. The health and development programs being operated in Jamkhed are thus designed to be empowerment-centered, enabling all individuals and communities to access appropriate knowledge, obtain appropriate skills, and take responsibility for critical assessment, decision-making capacity, and a means of engaging in meaningful collective action on issues of local importance. Next slide. I'll just skip over this. So, of course, the whole point of empowerment is to translate these outcomes into perceivable and measurable improvements in the health of populations and to an improvement in their quality of life as well. We can look at changes in the longitudinal health surveillance data collected from the project villages of CRHP as an indirect measure of the effectiveness of empowerment. And you've seen this before from Dr. Shoba's lecture. And it's also a good way of establishing convergent validity for our quantitative empowerment instrument, which I'll talk about a little later. But just looking at the IMR, you could see in the first 5 years, it dropped from 176 per thousand to 52 per thousand. And much of that improvement is attributed to the work of the village health workers as part of the comprehensive primary health care approach. Next slide. I'll just skip over this. And I'll skip this. Okay. So for the first part of the study, we organized four focus groups to elucidate the training and learning techniques and components developed by CRHP to empower local women as VHWs and agents of change. And we stratified the women according to the year of their initial training. We used 1995 as the cutoff, and so you see two groups where the mean age was 62 and 53.8, and there were two other groups where the women tended to be in their 30s, ranging between late 20s to mid-30s. And this is also reflected in the work experience in years. Okay. Next. The second part involved structured interviews with a subset of the focus group participants who were chosen to take a 23-item empowerment survey. And there were 11 in total that participated. The survey was modeled on a similar 20-item instrument developed and field-tested by Carl Taylor, Henry Perry, and several others who were working in Afghanistan several years ago. The present sample represents VHWs of diverse ages and years of work experience. Now, a social worker from CRHP who is intimately familiar with the local language and cultural context served as a translator during all sessions in order to reduce the occurrence of measurement errors due to misinterpretations. Next part. So now I'll briefly go through the major findings, starting with part one of the study, in which we sought to understand the components of an effective empowerment-based learning environment. And we came up with six themes for the focus groups. So the first theme is trusted sources of knowledge. And we observed an interesting difference between the younger and older VHWs. Whereas the older groups consistently identified the CRHP Training Center as the principal source of health knowledge and information, the younger groups tended to have a more diverse resource base, including organized community groups, an older VHW who may or may not have been still active in the village, local and regional media, and of course, in addition to the CRHP Resource Center. The next theme we looked at was effective learning methods and environments, and participants told us the vital role of the mobile health team, which conducts ongoing village-based training and follow-up throughout the project villages. This was noted to be an essential element in their iterative and experiential learning styles. Facilitated semi-structured group discussions and dramas or songs were likewise important to their learning process and their interpretation of difficult health concepts. We then asked them about what qualities they thought were essential to an effective village health worker. And the women came up with the list you see here. But what was interesting, there were two responses that kept coming up more often than the others. And these were Prem and Maya, which in Marathi translate into love and affection. And this is reflective of the values-based nature of this process and the underlying spiritual component, which strengthens these women's felt solidarity with all members of the community. Next. We asked the village health workers how they go about defeating the stigmatization of people with certain illnesses, such as leprosy, tuberculosis, and HIV. They all describe the keen awareness for the plight of people with these conditions, and they themselves, in some cases, have been affected by them as well. They also reflected on the changes in themselves that were gradually brought about by the unique teaching styles of the Arolis. And you heard a little bit of that from Dr. Shova. The Arolis apparently elicited behavior modeling by challenging local norms and visiting and spending time with people affected with these illnesses, eating with them sometimes from the same plate and treating them as equals. And this was eye-opening to the people in the villages to see doctors going out and engaging in this kind of behavior. And this is an example of one of the village health workers who herself was affected by leprosy years ago and her hands are left disfigured from the disease. She's now cured. But the village trusts her to take care of young children and infants, pregnant women, and many others in the community. I'll just breeze through this since I'm running out of time. So the next theme was empowerment through critical assessment and community organizing and motivation to serve. In part two of the study, we worked to develop a relatively simple approach to measure the current level of empowerment among the village health workers of Jamket. We relied upon 8 dimensions of empowerment with specific questions built into each one in order to broadly capture this concept in its most relevant manifestations. And the 8 dimensions were level of mobility, presence of a longer-term perspective, participation in household decision-making, level of life satisfaction, level of self-confidence, participation in community and public life, group agency, and awareness of empowerment. And we designed the scoring method specific to each question. Next. And these are some pictures to help you put a face on the village health workers of John Kidd. And these incredible women, in some cases, have been working nonstop for 38 years as volunteers. Okay. So what are the lessons that we learned from this study? And we learned that there is a benefit to distinguishing between women's or community empowerment in general from the more specific case of empowering women as agents or catalysts of community change and positive transformation. To sustain empowerment is to see it as an internal process with outside professionals serving in a facilitating and supportive capacity. In the case of John Kidd, we see clearly how a multi-sectoral approach where empowerment is operationalized among multiple groups and multiple domains can lead to a cascading effect to ignite larger social, structural, and environmental changes. Furthermore, as development takes shape, the VHWs find greater support and resources from within their communities, which strengthens sustainability. As our research has shown, the indicators of importance with such a goal involve the extent to which these women have utilized so-called deep knowledge, in their own words, to transform people's mindsets, inspire and motivate the youth, promote community cohesion, and inspire volunteerism to solve common challenges. In addition, they have become effective advocates for the poorest and most marginalized members of their communities. And as we've learned, empowerment doesn't take place in stages. It represents a continuum through which people are able to reach for their fullest potential from one generation to another. And if an empowerment constant does exist, it appears to reside within an open and supportive learning environment, where a semi-permeable membrane, as Betsy Taylor once described to me, separates learning from training and structured curricula from open-ended life experiences. Importantly, we need to understand that empowered and empowering learning has many sites and methods, and a good learning environment is one that effectively connects those sites. So I'll just leave you with this quote from Carl, which was said during an interview in 2008. Thank you.